swings and hits it into left center. Back at the track, it is dropped. Cespedes couldn't make the catch. How about that effort? Digging around third. Here comes Escobar. 1-0 Kansas City.
Escobar had the first run on an inside-the-park home run. He had the last one in a walk-off sacrifice fly. Royals with a 5-4 win, game one of the World Series. Joe Buck on the call last night. More on this game and more of your TV moments, like the Fox power outage. More of the TV moments in sports that we remember for the moment, as well as the outcome of the game. Keep sending them over at West, Fox Sports 910. But right now we're joined by John Lazor. And he's brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff. Cowan Gates, there for you in any case. And I know Lays has called inside the park home run. I know he's called a 14-inning baseball game. Up until last Saturday, though, have you ever called a quadruple overtime football game?
I haven't, man, no. And they've never had one here, obviously, nor has the ACC. So it was a lot of fun as a broadcaster to call that game, as I've said numerous times right up until the last play.
Virginia Tech falls again, this one to Duke, and now it sets up the final four games where the Hokies must win three out of their last four to get to a bowl game. Let's start here because it's kind of hard when the head man's future is being questioned and he gets asked about it. It's hard to talk about other things. What, just in general, man, you're around it. What's the atmosphere out like there? Is it tense in Blacksburg? Is it unknown? What's it like to be around it all right now?
Well, I've used this word a number of times over the last week, Wes, melancholy, because I think everybody sees, I don't want to call it the writing on the wall, but it's the recognition that the future is somewhat of an immediate nature. And that doesn't mean it's this year or next year, but it's definitely within sight. And I think for everybody, it's kind of like when you're living your life and you go along, and when you're young, you don't realize your own mortality and things like that. And then when it starts to get onto the other side, as you know, I was talking to my grandfather the other day, that's what you start to look at. So it's hard to enjoy sometimes what you're going through at the time because all you can picture is the end. And I think for people around here, that extends so far beyond football. You know, as we've talked about what this community was prior to Frank Beamer, what it is now, how much of an impact he has and continues to have over literally everything here, and the greatest source of pride that this area has outside of academia. So that's all part of it. And when you ball that up and you try to put it in football terms and you try to act as though it's business as usual, a lot of times that gets convoluted, and it's a difficult time, and it doesn't take someone that's been here for years like I haven't to necessarily see that.
The players seem to be saying the right things, especially after the game in the moment on Saturday, but can you see this weighing on them?
Yeah, but not necessarily in the sense of, oh, it's our obligation to go out and restore the pride play to play and week to week. I think their egos are hurt because they feel like they're a good football team, and this isn't a team that's going out there and getting their heads beat in. You know, pretty much every game they've been in at this point, save for the final quarter against Ohio State in the season opener, and I think they went into this season, and rightfully so, optimistic about what the relevancy of games that they were going to be playing in, and they're not. So I see that weighing on them a bit. You know, I can see that definitely in Sam Rogers, who's about the most upbeat guy that you'll ever be around, and you can see that in the set nature of his jaw lately and just the determination. So I know Frank has said it. I've heard Scott Loeffler and Shane say it as well, in that they don't worry about this team giving in because the ACC championship may not be there or the Orange Bowl may not be there. I think they still feel as though they've got quite a bit to prove, and they're right.
He's the voice of Virginia Tech, John Lazor, with us here on Fox Sports 910, brought to you by Cowan Gates. And that, you add in another element, maybe, you know, stress, tense, because above all things, you don't want to be, if your legacy is, you don't want to be the class that ended this bowl streak for this school.
No, you don't. But again, you know, you cannot take that to the field with you, and you can't take that with you to Boston College, because look, the reality is, and we in the media and those that are observers and commentators on it, we can look at it and know that although we've bandied about the term must win, this is an absolute must win this week, because if you're going to win three of the last four, this one is up there amongst the easiest. And that's not to slight Boston College, but it's a team that offensively does not scare you a whole lot. And that's where the things that have ailed you over the last couple of weeks are on the defensive side. You had some confusion in the secondary early. You tried to make adjustments late and did so at the lack of speed in the second half that cost you, including in the fourth overtime period there. So those are the types of matchups that you feel are in your favor going into this week, and then it gets tougher, honestly, from there. So you absolutely have to have this, but at the same time, yes, the right thing to say is we're looking solely at Boston College and we're looking solely at this week, but that's also true because what else can you do beyond that at this point? You're in this position and the only thing you can try to do to get out of it is remain poised and to some degree remain calm.
I could give you the laundry list of things right now that's going wrong with the defense, but I ask you to put it at top, you know, rank and priority. What's the most concerning thing right now with Bud Foster's D?
Well, it's the fact that the secondary is so inexperienced and everything flows towards the front of the defense from there. And I talked about it the other day, the lack of sacks and the lack of pressure being put on from the front four, and everyone saying, well, what's wrong with Daddy Nicholas? What's wrong with Luther Matty? And I, again, go back to the secondary because, yes, Daddy Nicholas has the hand issues now extending to both hands, and he's having a lot of difficulty playing the game that he knows how to play. There's no Corey Marshall at this point. Don't know his availability at this point for this week, and you haven't gotten the production from some of the others. But a lot of that, I think, stems from their inability to just come full tilt towards the quarterback and pin your ears back, as we like to say, because you have the confidence of a Kendall Fuller back there. And even beyond that, you had the confidence in that linebacking core because that's been inconsistent as well. Andrew Motuopuaka struggled quite a bit, I thought, last week against the Duke Blue Devils, and be going back before that when you were playing Huell's camp and when he had the targeting penalty. And it's just been a somewhat revolving door personnel-wise behind that front four up front, and I think that's taken away from it. So if this makes any sense, it starts in the secondary, but then to circle it back around, of course, it starts up front.
Yeah, as you mentioned, the good news is you got Boston College this week, who's got no offense. They make up for it in defense, and we'll talk about BC here in a second. But we're talking now big picture. We're talking about finding a way to win three out of the next four. Georgia Tech, you got the complexity of that, and you have a young secondary that's not yet experienced that. And then you've also got North Carolina, and say what you want about North Carolina being for real or not, they still have a high-power, potent offense, and that can get you.
Yeah, without question. And like I just said, this Boston College team, and you look at where Vegas thinks it is, and they think it's going to be a close game, and I think most people do as well. But I think there's a little disrespect in that to the Tech offense. I actually think Tech's going to go up there and be able to have some success against this Boston College team. I don't think it's going to be a 3-0 or 6-3 game like I see some people talking about. I think Tech is going to be able to win this game by a touchdown. But you're right, after that, that might lull you into a false sense of security again defensively going forward against some teams that are going to give you difficulty. You'll have the bye week to prepare for Georgia Tech, which is phenomenal. That's all you can ask for when you're going up against an offense of the unique nature, even though it is familiar to Bud Foster and company at this point. And then your final home game is North Carolina. You go down to UVA, and they've got their own turmoil, of course, with the future of Mike London. So again, 3 out of 4 is doable, but when you scale back those expectations and say, okay, we're targeting just 6-6 at this point, the bigger picture stuff does creep back in. So there's a lot of things, there's a lot of balls bouncing right now down Main Street in Blacksburg for sure.
You better believe it. He's John Laser. We got him for another segment. He's brought to you by Cowan Gates. More with Lays in 5 minutes right here on the home of the Hokies, Fox Sports 910.